Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite college teams or pro teams with in-live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. The game starts here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Motor City Metrics podcast here at TigersMLReport.com, part of the Believe Network. I'm Rahel Kassil, alongside Ms. Cameron and Uper. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen to podcasts. And, of course, you can find the latest articles and more at TigersMLReport.com. We also did a podcast earlier today, and we talked about the spring breakout game, which we'll get into a little bit tonight. Plenty to get to, including the number 3,000, because Alex Fiedo was cooking with gas as the Tigers pitching Wizards once again. The lab department was in session, and we'll get to that. Chris Brown somehow is beating me, and his super team is beating me on the Bruins side. So I want to know how, Chris, your team is beating me. We'll talk about that a little later too.
Gotcha.
It's ridiculous. So the great idea of a split game, two games on tonight television, which is fine, but you put them on at the same time, and usually, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they split the split squad games usually where they're somewhat, one's on TV, one's not, right? I've never seen both of them on TV at the same time.
Yeah, well, usually they're not at night.
Right.
It's a strange circumstance tonight.
By the way, Carlos Pena, fantastic on the broadcast. Very good addition to it. It was really well done. That's one of those things where the Tigers, with the hire Jason Benetti too, have really kind of seemed like they've caught up to the rest of the world. It's just not just like it. It's not like, hey, let's just hire Andy Dirks and call it a day. I mean, no offense to any people who like Andy Dirks or anything, but it just seems like they've actually really stepped up on all sorts of that with the broadcasting side of things.
Well, it just seemed like, you know, it was so beyond time to just turn the page from worshiping 1984 and having, you know, and bringing new energy and new thoughts into that booth. It's going to be a fresh air all year.
Yeah, I know. Did you get a chance to listen to the new broadcast at all, guys, Cameron, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. They didn't even spend – I mean, they've talked about the Tigers a lot, but it was a lot of it was talking about Carlos and his career as a Tiger, going back to being traded from Oakland, and Carlos made a joke about his name being said 26 times in Moneyball, and it was great. They play off each other real well.
Unfortunately, I missed – all of both games. I just now was checking. I saw that Jace Young hit a homer in the ninth in the home game, right? We were out eating and then playing football. and then I was getting my segments ready. So I missed all of the games. So
I was had the games on in the background, working out real quick downstairs because I was trying. I've been working lately into like 6:30, 7 o'clock. I did an article for Motor City Bengals earlier. We did the podcast earlier. So you can find the podcast over at Tiger Minor League Report, as we went over the spring breakout roster. But the Tigers lost to the Blue Jays in the first game, 5-4. But the news on that was what you just mentioned, Jace Young with a home run late in the game. Mr. Buddy Kennedy with his first hit of the spring, batting a robust 091 on the spring. Parker Meadows in the leadoff spot, though. 2-for-3 with a pair of RBIs. They did a homer. Foot speed thing, a homer. But what's interesting was the Blue Jays Twitter were calling out, oh, yeah, well, one of our guys just went as fast, too, which I thought that was kind of strange. And then beyond that, I mean, Cole Keith, who DH'd, went 0-for-3. And Ryan Kreidler, who I think might be a good chance Ryan Kreidler might make this team out of spring. There's just – he's getting a lot more time. But Kenta Maeda, Cameron, I don't know. Like, what are your – the pitch he had over Kevin Kiermaier was just right over the middle. It was like a meatball.
Yeah, AJ said during his interview that they challenged Maeda to throw a lot of first pitch strikes today. And he kind of said, even the Kiermaier thing, that Hinch wouldn't expect Kiermaier to be first pitch swinging after the inning the Tigers just had. So they thought they might be able to sneak a strike by Kiermaier, but he was first pitch hunting and got a hold of it. So I guess Maeda's doing what he was asked and throwing first pitch strikes, threw it right down the middle.
Yeah, Sam mentioning his fastball is 89.5, which is not ideal. But again, we're not going to freak out about this. If this is happening in May, then we're having a different conversation. But for now, I'm at spring training. Things take time, so I'm not really worried about it. But what I am worried about, though, is that number that came up tonight, and it was going to be one of my inside numbers, but it was kind of like just a throwaway stat because spring training stats don't really matter. Tigers were 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position this evening, so that's something that stood out.
I was keeping track of, you know, following along on game day, and I noticed that yes, they had the bases loaded with nobody out and got nothing out of it. Right, they had scored a run before that, but then Colt Keith struck out and then they grounded to a double play, and it felt like
they scored a run on a hit by pitch. So
that was before Colt Keith, right?
No, I think bases were loaded for Canna. He got hit by a pitch.
And then Keith was up and struck out, right? Yeah. So that's all I meant is that they had the bases loaded with nobody out there got nothing out of it, which I imagine there were people tweeting out that they're in midseason form already because that's what people do.
It's almost like cliche exactly what it's going to say. And then the other game right now, the Tigers are up 8-4 as they head into the top of the eighth right now against New York in Tampa. And so with that game, essentially what's been happening, the kind of headline, Zach McKinstry, 2-for-2 with the walk and an RBI.
Javi Baez. Show.
Yeah, Javi Baez got a hit, though. There you go.
That's his first of spring, right?
There you go.
Yep. Yeah, the Andy Baez show. He was playing some time at first base. Which was
Flaherty looked rough.
Pardon me?
I said Flaherty looked pretty rough.
Oh, yeah.
Flaherty.
Yeah, Flaherty pretty rough. Yep. Pretty rough. Drew Anderson, 2 walks but a pair of strikeouts. I didn't get a chance to watch. I haven't watched. Admittedly, I only watched a little bit of this game. I only watched the beginning, but then I was more focused on the Toronto game. But anybody wanted to chime in on how does Shelby Miller look? I haven't had a chance to watch him pitch yet.
I wasn't watching, but I saw Jerry retweet something about his Stuff Plus being super high. So I guess that's always something to
look
for. He gave up a couple base runners, but no runs, right?
Yeah, I think Flaherty is the only one who's had trouble in this game, I believe.
Yeah, so as far as it goes, I mean, this has been a weird week. The Tigers were off yesterday, and so it kind of broke up a little bit. It was weird not having baseball, only getting kind of accustomed to it already. And as far as news goes, too, it's been rather ho-hum because Cameron and I were talking about this before the podcast, what to exactly discuss, and even across baseball, too. Baseball, in terms of, like, if you're looking for storylines, the one I do want to get into the spring breakout game, and that, to me, is important because for people like us who do prospect stuff, it's MLB is actually doing something for the fans, and it's actually catering the fans. To extent, because you don't ever see this happen, because for whatever reason prospects don't get that kind of recognition because they want to treat them like they don't exist. But now it's a little different. I mean, prospects are getting better, perhaps. Either way, they did a whole rollout today, and the Tigers roster looks it's interesting because at first people were wondering what happened with Jackson Joe, but it turns out he is pitching against the Pirates, so he won't be able to make the roster.
I don't think he's pitching against the Pirates. I think they said he's pitching a couple days before that against the Twins.
Yes, next game, Bally Sports Detroit, he's going to be pitching that game.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was speculating that he wouldn't be playing because he's pitching that day, but I forget that pitchers can't pitch every day, right? So they have him pitching a couple days away from that, so that's why he's not there, which makes sense. And I think they said the same about Montero, right?
Correct, yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, by the way, definitely needs to be Matt Manning is throwing a splitter. That is news. And I might, look. Sorry, it's just my chair. My chair gets really loud. There's news, but you're talking like the big headline, you know, things like that for Tiger fans. I mean, does the average fan care that the Tiger fan, Batman is throwing a split finger? We do, and we'll get to that. So, but yeah, here's spring. Thank you, Cameron, for bringing that up on here. So here are the rosters: Flores, Melton, Madden, Brant Hurdler, RJ Pettit, who pitched tonight, Max Elba, who Chris mentioned earlier why he's on the roster. We'll get to that in a second. Andrew Bagno, Jake Hillenbaum, Adam Wolf, who also pitched earlier. And then in the infield, Jace Young, Kevin McGonigal, Lee Anderson, Winciel Perez, although I think that's more like a typo, probably end up being the outfield. Christian Santana, Trey Cruz, Luke Gold, Jay Colton, Dingler, Bassanio, Alfonso, and then the outfield, Clark, Bigby, Campos, Allen, Callahan, which was caught me off guard too, and Steph Stevenson. So that is the spring breakout 2024 roster. I know Stan, who listens to the show or watches us on YouTube, is excited to see that Steph Stevenson is on the roster, and rightfully so. It's a nice representation of the system between low A to triple A. And you have two guys in the 40-man roster in Flores and all of a sudden, I'm drawing a blank on who. Oh, Winciel Perez on the 40-man. So, overall,
and Cameron, Dingler.
And Dingler. Oh, yeah. Dingler's on the 40-man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Yeah, Dingler. I don't know why I forgot that Dingler's on the 40-man. But I'll start with you, Youper. What was your thoughts when you saw this?
Well, I think something that's been kind of said in other spaces, but it just jumps out at me, is the overall depth and the fact that there are just more players who you can envision having a better than average shot at a major league career versus, you know, some years in the past where you really, really had to squint and conjure up in your mind how that guy's going to get to the majors and stay there.
Yeah, this is not the, I guess, no offense to anybody out there who's a fan of the Cal Org days, but this is definitely an upgrade. Chris, I'll go Cameron. What was your initial thoughts of when you first saw this?
Initial thoughts, wish Colt Keith was there, but understand it because he has an MLB contract now. And I was kind of worried about Jackson Jobe for about 45 minutes there. Haven't really heard anything about him. And I guess all the beat writers were worried as well because like an hour after this, AJ Hinch came out and said that Jobe would be starting soon. So, yeah, disappointed no Jobe. Disappointed, no Colt Keith. That's about it, really. Good roster.
Yeah, this was a spring breakout was actually going to be my good. For your point, Raj, you were saying that like baseball hasn't done this with prospects, hasn't really given them, or minor leaguers in general, right? They don't pay enough attention to them, and I think this is good for baseball. I think this is a lot of fun. Yeah, and my initial reaction, we did a whole podcast on it. We did spend 5 to 10 minutes talking about this, and then the next 30 minutes with our strange fantasy draft. But to Youp's point, we decided that there's enough depth in the system that we could actually both draft a squad. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that Raj had the first pick, and he ended up with, I think, 5 of our top 7 prospects.
Yeah.
5 of the top 6. Whereas I tried to like game theory it. Right where I took Josue Briseño first overall as at first base because I didn't think there were enough other catchers. I don't know, or there weren't any other first basemen in that can even a top 100 prospect or top 30 prospect in the system. Anyway, we did a nerdy thing. You can check it out. You can listen to that podcast. But yeah, my initial reaction, we talked about it, is yeah, Job wasn't on there. We were kind of curious. Carter Montero wasn't there. We were kind of curious. We've got those answers now. The other one, and we talked about, which we don't have an answer for, is Tyler Madison, who I consider to be the best pure relief prospect in the system. And we haven't heard anything about him this spring, haven't seen him anywhere. He was pitching very well in Double A last year. So that makes me worry a little bit. He's a guy who's had some arm trouble in the past too, injury trouble. And I don't want to, like, I mean, it's pure speculation at this point, but to have no whisper of him and not have him on this roster makes me wonder a little bit. And then the other one was Max Alba, which was kind of surprising because he's not a guy that, I don't know, we just don't really consider him as a priority prospect in the system as a reliever. And he was an undrafted guy in 2022, had like a 4 ERA in low A Lakeland last year. But I was like, okay, well, let's look at the data. And Jerry has collected all the data. And Jerry actually had a really nice tweet explaining why. Jerry mentioned that the 19 inches of IVB on his fastball induced vertical break, which means that's going to play up pretty well. And then he's had Statcast had him for 5 or 6 different pitches, and 4 of them had a 30%, you know, swinging strike rate or something like that. So yeah, maybe an interesting arm. We're speculating that maybe he's another guy that they added some velocity to, because we keep seeing that across the board. You saw it today with Flaherty. Fido's throwing harder. It also looks like Fido might have a splitter now based on his changeup is up 4 miles an hour. Yeah. I don't think that's I didn't look at it, so I'm just looking at the data, but so yeah, maybe Alba's another velocity guy.
And again, if I had, I got to find a picture that I made of Chris Fetter and everybody in lab coats, because it's becoming a thing where the Tigers might be no, I'm not going to say that. I wanted to say something along the lines of what the Braves did in the 90s, which is teaching guys how to pitch. Because for the people who think that the John Smoltz, you know, trade was, oh, there it is. There it is. See, and then somebody was telling me like, oh, Chris Fetter's not tall enough. But that, by the way, is Gabe Rivas, by the way. Rivas is at the end. So no one, because no one knows what Gabe Rivas, like, it took me a long time, or it took me a while to realize who Gabe Rivas, or what he looked like, because he just, you know, he comes in and out. But yeah, there he is at the end. Right there in the middle is former Brewer, what was the assistant pitching coach?
Juan Nieves.
Yeah, I think he won Nieves. And then there's Robert Lutton right there. Second guy.
Ex from the Brewers, I was going to say Chris, what's his name?
Oh, Chris Baggio.
You know, one thing I'll say, and we still, it remains to be seen, you know, what happens during the course of the season. But we've seen an awful lot of velocity gains. We just talked about it. It's making me think that Robin Lund's not going to be with the Tigers for terribly long. Somebody's going to make him their head pitching coach, just based on hell, maybe it'll be the Tigers. Maybe the Tigers will find out a new way. They'll make Fetter the president of pitching operations or something like that to keep them both. But what those guys are doing, I don't know if we want to roll into that. If it's still on the bullet list, but it was, the Stuff Plus models, right? That it would have been, I don't know if Eno Saris created it, but people have been working on them in the last couple of years, and it's kind of a way to put a number on how nasty pitches are and how effective they are. And for all the Tigers, like, solid pitching in the last couple of years, they haven't graded out terribly well on that. But so far early this spring, the Stuff Plus is up, like, across the board, I think. Other people have paid more attention to it. I don't know if you have the exact numbers there, Cameron, or what. But
yeah, even Bo Brisky's changeup is up, too, in terms of velocity. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but the
RJ Pettit touch him tonight.
No, and you know another thing, RJ Pettit, he is up too. That is something that I went and double checked. I think he was like no more than, I think he, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, he was looking like 94, 95 last year, wasn't he?
I think that's what we saw him usually. I do think he has touched higher before. When they drafted him, there was talk of him, you know, getting close to triple digits, but I think he's always been a huge dude. So he's another one that, yeah, I think is throwing harder, and he was throwing a lot of sliders, it looked like, but yeah. So you see the graphic there, and it's like any plus stat where 100 is average. So 119 for his entire arsenal basically, or that's new stuff, right? So new things that they're throwing this year. Is that how you read that?
I believe so. I believe it's everything from spring training, the start of spring training that they've thrown. So,
So yeah, I mean, early results for Scooble, Mize, and Manning. They're all throwing some pretty nasty stuff, and that, you know, that doesn't include everybody else.
So yeah, I believe this isn't accounting for like last year's stuff. This is just from the start of spring training to now. And yeah, Scooble was surprisingly like league average with location, stuff plus and everything. So seeing him at 119 is quite the leap.
Well, and yeah, you know, with Mize, just watching him pitch the other day, you know, I've talked so much ad nauseum about his fastball in the past and called it floaty and puffy and every other disparaging word I can put on it. I was really, you know, and there's a long way to go through spring here and into the season, but I just thought the other day that fastball looked tighter. I mean, it looked like something that you could do some damage with. It wasn't just something, it was something that a hitter has to really be on the lookout for and not tee off on. And hopefully he can continue going down that road.
Yeah, that's we look at some of the newer stats too. Some of the things that some people, it is a lot for some people that are just trying to casually follow the game of baseball. But you can, I think there's one thing that has been consistent across the board is velocity. If you say that you can throw the ball hard and fast, they'll play up anyway. And that, I think that's if, like, for all the new stats out there, for people that might be overwhelmed by that, I think that the simplest way I can explain it to some people who may not know stuff plus and what have you is throw the ball hard. It'll still do something. It's still going to, that principle still applies. Is that fair to say?
That segues into my inside the number in a little while.
Okay. Well, actually, you know what?
Not yeah, that we have to go there now.
You know what? Yeah. All right, that actually segues that. You know what? You said segue, so I'll just throw it in there. All right, boom, Youper, go ahead.
Well, talking about velocity, you know, Codify is a really good Twitter account, right? I'm sure you guys have seen them. Whether they say Codify, it doesn't matter. Today they put out just some very simple stats, and nothing too shocking here, but basically just how many whiffs per swing we see at different miles per hour. To Raj's point, 90 and below, can you guys guess what the whiff rate is?
1%?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, well, wait. Are we talking, we're talking about every pitch, right? Then not just fastballs?
Correct.
Oh, boy. All right. 24%.
16%.
All right.
101 and above, take a shot.
45%.
Not quite. 32%. But
so I'm just terrible at this.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to say anything, but but it basically goes slowly up, you know, obviously from 90 all the way through that decile to 100. It goes slowly up the whole way, which makes perfect sense, right? But it does, you know, get to Roger's point. When in doubt, throw it hard. And 32% of the time, if you're throwing at 101 or above, they're going to swing and miss. If you're living in the 80s where Mr. Maeda was today, they're only going to swing and miss 16% of the time.
I did like, by the way, what Deadly Ninja B said, and velocity does cover for mistakes. Absolutely. And if you can get that velocity with the tailing action, then that's what makes you a difference between a guy who can strike, which is something that Hinch has been since day spring training has started. He wants more strikeouts out of his bullpen because they were in the middle of the pack last year. Cameron, what's your inside the number?
My number is 13.7%, which is Torkelson's career pop-out percentage. This weekend, I believe he popped out three times, once with runners in scoring position. It takes me back to his quote at the end of last year, paraphrasing, saying that he could have did more and that there is probably a time with runners on base where he could have gotten a base hit and help win some more games. And I think something to pay attention to through spring training and the start of next year is if Torkelson can bring his pop-out percentage down to, like, even close to league average, which is 9.8%, which is a 4% drop, which may be asking a lot. But even bringing it down to 2%, 3%. Even if they turn into ground balls, at least a ground ball, you have some BABIP luck by chance. But if you're going to pop out, it's probably not much luck involved there, and you're just going to get out.
Well, that's a great point, because even a ground ball might even move. Even if he gets out, he might move a runner up. Yeah. Or yeah. They might have an error.
And I think Riley Green didn't have a single pop out last year, if I'm not mistaken. Lots of ground balls to second base, but yeah, that gets a run in from third.
Didn't Joey Votto go and score like 8 years with a pop up or some insane
thing? I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's wild. Oh, Roger, you're muted.
Nothing. Just people being. Yeah, go ahead. Who's next? Chris, you're next, right?
All right. So mine's 18. It's fairly simple here. By my count, that's the number of relievers still left in camp who have at least some shot at making the club. It's high because I think we all have like five or six guys locked into the bullpen right now. But I think, yeah, the reality, there's probably two or three open spots. But here's how I have it ranked right now. Like, I split it in different groups. We have the locks. I'm pretty sure Chafin and Miller are locks, right? They have contracts. And Jason Foley, I think he'll be in there for sure. And then the near locks are Alex Lang and Tyler Holton. I think a lot of people would put them as locks, but, you know, you never know when things go south with a reliever. Lang looked good tonight, apparently, so maybe that's out of the way. And then kind of the top contenders for the for other spots are Bo Brisky and Will Vest, at least in my mind. They've kind of been there a fair amount in the last couple of years. And then you have the two guys with no options left in Joey Wentz and Miguel Diaz. So that's let's see, that gives us nine so far. And then there's the people on the 40 man. There are five of them that are interesting. Alex Fieto, Kyder Montero, Wilmer Flores, Brendan White, Mason Englert. You know, they all have options remaining. You assume they're all going to be in the minors, but you never know. And then there's some interesting guys who aren't in the 40. In Drew Anderson, who I think just got pulled. Brent Herter maybe becomes a lefty reliever. We talk about that. And then you got like Brendan Hanafy and Trey Wingenter, I'm sorry, who saw time with the team last year. Probably don't expect them to make the team, but they were, you know, close enough last year. So I don't know. It's something we haven't really looked at a ton, I think, but there's an awful lot of relief options available to AJ Hinch. So I think that's just goes to another example of how Scott Harris has built the depth of the organization right now.
And, you know, the interesting thing is too, is what you see with Alex Fiedo tonight, who led everybody in swings and misses. He had eight swings and misses. The increase in velocity aside is, I think they, and Chris, I think we talked about, I think we also talked about this last year too, that he wasn't a guy who could string together after the, when batters faced him a third time, I think the batting average jumped up pretty high.
Yeah, skyrocketed.
It skyrocketed. So there is some stuff there that was playable that eventually he would be a relievers just couldn't stay healthy. And now if he is staying healthy with the stuff he has and the tweaks to his, I mean, he's done a lot of mechanical changes. He's gone back to what worked for him in Florida. And those mechanical tweaks that the Tigers have worked with him with have really kind of unleashed him a little bit. So between that and Flores, I mean, you really kind of set yourself up to go, well, holy shit. And this is, it's actually like you look at the back end of the bullpen, you're going, damn, well, they got some flamethrowers coming out of nowhere. But also, I think they finally realized what they were able to weaponize them a little bit. So, anyway, that is, Chris, that's going to be a tough call because I think you mentioned this last week. I think Wentz is one of those guys that could probably be traded, more likely be traded if they need to. I mean, but it's not a bad thing to have because if you think about it, maybe they can get a guy that with potential power too.
Yeah, and this might not be the best time to get into this, but, you know, I did, for the minor league site, we wrote an article about, it was essentially an attempt to do the depth charts for every of the full season affiliates, right? But to do that, I felt the need to do the big league club first. And, it gets to the point where, I don't know, I think they've said they're not going to do piggyback starts. Or maybe they haven't said that, but they have said they're not going to have a six-man rotation, right?
Right.
It's possible they could do a piggyback thing where they have basically Mize and Olsen and Manning kind of you know, piggybacking as it were, and that leaves one of those relievers out in the cold. It could be Wentz, could be Diaz, could be both of them. But yeah, it's I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, these are tough decisions, but it's good that they have some tough decisions to make, I guess.
And speaking of the tough decision they make too, and that's my inside number, and that is the 164, and that is the WRC plus of so far Wincel Perez, and between him and Eddie Lenard, those two stories have been interesting in camp because Perez, we've established he can't play the infield. It's not in his cards. Now the question becomes though is, I mean, he's been hitting the ball extremely hard. Some of the balls he's hit in spring training along with Andy Baez has been notable. But again, also you have to think about it this way. Okay, against the level of competition, but Perez is still getting it done. So it's just the question becomes, where do you put him? I mean, do you put him as a fourth outfielder or do you let him start the season in Toledo and get some reps? And I think personally that more likely will be the case because if you look at Toledo's outfield right now, it's still, I mean, it's actually rather deep. Now it's getting deeper, actually, if you think about it. I mean, you have, if you're going to start Malloy there, so you have Malloy, Perez, and Hopkins probably in right, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I mean, the way I think, what did I have? I had Malloy, Perez, Hopkins, and Badu as kind of the four regular outfielders. And then I put Perez as a utility. But yeah, in reality, I think he's going to be playing a lot of outfield. So, it's the minors. They usually give guys a day off here or there, or put one of them at DH. But yeah, I don't know. The Toledo team has six of our top 30 hitting prospects on it. And that's with Andre Lipsius moving on. It would have been seven, mm-hmm. Which is about the best I can remember Toledo being. Maybe go back a couple of years when they had Torque and Green and Kreidler and but yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. Like Perez is his, it's been a conundrum, right? Because he really is playing well offensively.
Yeah, I mean, it's just he can field pretty well in the outfield, I'd say.
Meanwhile, nobody cares about live score updates, but we got a Christian Santana triple. It was 411 feet. And Rogelio's first baseman, Jake Holton, with a, with a two-run double, really put me to shame.
Look, vote for my team. Vote for Los Gallos on Twitter, okay? Look, vote for my team. I'm losing right now.
I think the way I phrased the question may have changed the results. Instead of saying which team is better, I put which team wins a head-to-head game.
Ah.
Listen, man, this is about building a team.
Raj has Jackson Jobe start. Like,
yeah. But hey, we didn't set up these rules, but if we have three starting pitchers, I'm assuming that nobody can go more than two innings.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, but as Tyler said in his post in the chat, you know, having these guys to chew over here in spring training, so much better than the retreads and the veterans trying to hang on. Every game now, there's at least two or three guys who you can dream about having, you know, some kind of major league career, whether it's as a utility guy or possibly the starting third baseman, but people who might have a future instead of guys who are trying to hold on to their past, right? So, I think that's really one of the benefit, the big pluses of this spring training, what I've been enjoying. But Andy Ibañez, I mean, come on, four dingers, looking good.
Double today too, right?
Yeah, double as well. What does that mean? Where is he going to, you know, is he going to just jump around position to position or are they going to find a spot for him?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like if the season started today, he's probably your starting third baseman, right? We haven't seen a ton out of Urshela yet. Now you don't think there's going to be too much, but we try not to make too much of spring training at all. But
right, but he also hit at the end of last year. You know, this is coming on the heels of a really nice finish down the stretch.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore. Like you don't want to make too much of him going bonkers, and you want to try to be level headed about Matt Vierling and Javier Baez doing nothing, basically. But, it's at some point you got to start paying attention to what they're doing.
Or, I don't know, maybe there's a guy who appeared at shortstop for the first time during the spring training. He's Lenard. You know, I mean, I know last week we got some sort of controversial take about that because we were speculating. I want to address that. Let me address that real quick. Here's the podcast. First and foremost, you can have opinions. You can have opinions all you want, but we are what are we are what are we? We entertain. We talk baseball. Okay, we're not coaches. We're not professional. We're professional podcasters. Whatever you want to title. Okay, but do yourself a favor. If you're gonna watch and comment on something, and our fan base is really good about this, with the exception of a few. Just shut up. Shut up.
Well,
and don't say anything and don't jump to conclusions about something because you saw a headline on a tweet and decided not to read or watch something. Don't be an idiot and don't try to pick a fight on Twitter. I'm so sick of that stupid shit. I'm sorry. I'm going to get off my chest. Knock it off.
I mean, I did my job. I baited people into interacting with the tweet.
Oh, you were Cameron is our agent provocateur.
Well, I mean, honestly, you know, I think basically all you did was get ahead of what was probably coming from fans down the road, right? Like, hey, this guy plays shortstop and he's hitting. Why can't we? Can we just cut Baez? And obviously, like, at no point did any of us in our clip that you posted say, yes, he'll be the shortstop over Baez. It was just kind of like asking the question. Like, but, you know, I get it. Whatever. People want to complain about everything.
So, by the way, thank you to Joseph, who now used our super chat feature. Thank you for the $5.
Off thank the Frickers building. Exquisite.
And his question is, hope you guys are doing well. God bless. Bo Brisky's role this year. New sliders working, maybe a closing option. Just wondering. Thanks as always. You know, Joseph, that's a very good question. And Brisky's slider has looked good. He, like we were just mentioning earlier, his changeup, whatever the pitch is classified, is up. You know what? If they let go of Miguel Diaz, you could see him maybe closing Toledo. Maybe they just continue to air it out and start the season in Toledo and see what he can be there. I mean, I don't know. That just, I don't know what you guys think, but I can see him starting in Toledo just to get maybe a feel for closing or as a setup man possibly.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about before that Brisky kind of has a like an Alex or a Jason Foley feel to him almost, where he's the slider is new, but he still doesn't throw it. I think he threw two tonight. Is he still a big fastball changeup guy? Those are his money pitches, and I don't think he's ever going to be a huge strikeout guy without a devastating breaking ball. And at this point, I don't think he's going to get a devastating breaking ball. The best you can hope for is kind of a change of pace breaking ball forever, for you know, lack of a better term, something that keeps people off balance. I think, you know, he throws enough strikes and those two pitches are good enough that he could certainly close a game or two. I don't think he's ever going to be like a full-time MLB closer, but I think he can be very valuable sixth inning, seventh inning guy. And to your point, Raj, he could, if he does go to Toledo, it wouldn't shock me if he's closing down there, but I think he's more of a, you know, middle reliever in the big leagues.
I think he has the potential to close only because Brisky's kind of like that ice in his veins kind of thing. That was something about his personality that I think he's capable of bouncing back pretty quickly with that. So, but yeah, you're right. Maybe 6 or 7. Anyway, I just wanted to address that. I'm sorry that I swore there on that, but it's just bothering me because people are stupid and that's what it is. Anyway. If they're predicted to win the division, I think the Tigers have a good chance to win the division. But again, I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid because it's just too early. It's too early. There's so many other things that have to happen here. It's March. What is it? March 7th today. And I just can't do it. So, but yeah, let's just enjoy the fact that we have Jason Benetti on the broadcast, making us entertained. I think the highlight of the week though, was hearing the Braves broadcasters talk about Shane Green. Shane Green believes that fossils that fossils like the dinosaur fossils are a made up scam by the museums to sell to make money. It's just like
yes, classic classic museum. Rich evil museums. Nobody hoards money like a museum. I mean, you know, they hoard antiquities.
Oh, about that.
I saw, I saw another one. I just saw it tonight. Somebody posted it in the Discord. It was during the broadcast. They were talking to Pena about the prankster, and he mentioned Bobby Higginson being a John Paul Morosi tweet, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's something about how Bobby Higginson stole Franklin Herman's car for a week. Oh, jeez.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing about Bobby Higginson outside of there's three things about Bobby Higginson post his career, and we'll get into the good, the bad, the ugly in a second. For those who don't know, one, he got in a fight with Jeff Weaver on a plane, allegedly, where Jeff Weaver ended up getting a black eye, and then I think one of them walked off of the team picture or something to that effect. That's a true story, because I think Weaver was being a dick or something happened.
Believable.
Two, when I worked at a AM radio station as a producer, one of the producers I work with told me a story that he used to go to a bar in Hazel Park and kind of pull the "you know who I am" card a lot and towards the tail end of his playing career. And three, he got a stripper in Kansas City pregnant, allegedly.
Oh,
so
that's interesting.
Hey, things happen in Kansas City, okay?
That's true.
I get down there a lot. Stuff happens in Kansas City, and then you can't cut them down for that one.
No, I mean, there's a lot of fountains. What else are you supposed to do?
Yeah, also, Tom, don't ask Tom Brenneman about Kansas City.
Oh, well.
All right, okay, man. All right, anyways, that's enough shenanigans. Let's go into, let's go into the bad, the ugly. All right. You bro, what's your good, the bad, the ugly this week?
All right, my good was something out of Miami reported today. Local news down there saying that the Marlins are going to emulate some of the more fun things of Caribbean baseball and start allowing flags and drums and all kinds of horns into the stadium with for fans. Now, if that's true, I think it's phenomenal. I think if the fans are having a good time, and long as nothing's getting thrown on the field, I think it's great. Because when you watch some of the Caribbean baseball and the Asian baseball, the fan participation looks like a blast, you know? And let's face it, the Miami Marlins can use all the fun they can get, okay? If that helps put some people in that stadium, great. If it's something that MLB starts to look at and like and it spreads to other places, fine by me. It doesn't have to be like a church social at the ballpark or a day in the library. So hopefully that'll be a lot of fun.
What's that instrument called? It starts with a Y.
Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Vuvuzela. Okay. That's I love that sound effect. Something that, you know, you could see that going. But continue.
The only thing I hate about that is I remember during the World Baseball Classic, like trying to fall asleep at 1 a.m. as the games were going on, and the Caribbean games, you had to mute it.
They should.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Or you for go ahead.
They were showing guys with like trombones.
Yeah, they should have French horns and oboes and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'd be fantastic. It's all in fun. I mean, it's a game, right? And you know, everybody, that's a business, but it's a game too. Have some fun. And again, the Marlins, you know, that's usually like a mausoleum in that place.
Yeah.
My bad is our good old friends, the Oakland A's, having some.
Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. You know, when they were moving, when this whole thing about Las Vegas came up, a lot of people were, you know, saying how bad they feel for Oakland, right? And first of all, Oakland, come on. They got like 18 people. So I didn't feel bad for Oakland. But I also said, I'm not going to believe this Vegas thing is real until they got shovels in the ground and they're playing baseball there eventually. They're having trouble again. Nothing's guaranteed. Then they put out these drawings of the of the stadium, and they unveiled to everybody, they're not going to put a retractable roof on the place. In the summer, when it's a buck 12, you know, So good luck with that. Their excuse is that a lot of places with retractable roofs, they don't use the, they never retract them, very rarely. So why put one up? Okay, I suppose I got, you know, get some money and they think it's practical, but you know, you are going to be guaranteed you can't play a day game in Vegas in the summertime. They're copying the Sydney Opera House with this shade thing that they're building, and it makes sense to have shade. But again, the whole thing with Oakland here is now this has become an incomprehensible mess. We don't know what's going to go on, how long they're going to end up having to stay in Oakland. And it's just a blight on the league and an embarrassment for the commissioner that this has been such an ongoing problem with no resolution and so many ups and downs and the rug pulled out from under people. And it's a joke. So boo to the A's. My ugly, you know, I was having trouble coming up with ugly, and I saw Flaherty did have a rough day today. 1.2 innings. He gave up 3 hits, 3 walks, and a homer. Again, it's just one start. Who cares? It's one spring training start. But the cool thing, again, and something we alluded to minutes ago, is that there's enough starters now in camp where one or two bad starts can put you behind. You know, and if another guy takes advantage of that, all of a sudden, you know, someone like Flaherty, who I thought was probably a given, maybe he's not a given. So we just got to see. That gives us more reason to watch and look at the results of these games, even though they don't count. They do count for kind of where a player is headed. So hopefully Flaherty, you know, whatever it was tonight, he comes back out and gets back on track.
I remember, Saris predicted that Flaherty could end up in the bullpen with the Tigers. It'd be an expensive bullpen piece, but with the depth they have.
Yeah, today he had the interesting thing that they did with Mize, right, where they pulled him out in the first inning and then sent him back out for the second and the third, and the second was much better, and then he gave up a home run in the third, but the first was just ugly, like 3 walks, a double, I don't know, but, yeah.
Okay, Cameron, what's your good bad of this week?
My good is Willie Horton being on TV. Looked nice. Pretty good, looked pretty spry, good at talking. Had some good jokes in there. Good clip about Colt Keith. I actually wish I had it on me, but Willie Horton likes Colt Keith. We'll go with that. My bad is Joey Votto doesn't have a team still. It's kind of looking sad on both ends. Votto really still wants to play. There's only like 2 or 3 teams that could really even use or need a Joey Votto. And they're not winning teams. So, I mean, if Votto wants to go play in Oakland, he probably could. But I don't think he wants to. And I can't really come up with an ugly. I was looking for some spring training injury or something. I guess, actually, ugly Lucas Giolito in the Boston Red Sox pitching rotation. Yeah. I probably stole that from Raj. But
that's okay. No.
Yeah, that's the only injury that came to the top of my head. Red Sox trade away Chris Sale. Chris Sale looking great so far and with the Braves in spring training. Then the guy they signed to replace him out for the year. So
yeah, typical Boston move. You know, I mean, it hasn't happened before, has it? No. Some guy named Mookie Betts or something. I don't know. It's crazy. Anyway. Yeah. And then, yeah, you know what? That's a good ugly. Joseph in the chat, I like that. He said Blake Snell still on the market. That is ugly. No, that is 100%. But then also, I'm starting to blame Scott Boras on that a little bit there, because Scott Boras, there was an offer out there, and he said, don't take it. So, no. Yeah.
Now, did I see something today? Blake Snell, his like expected ERA last year was like 1.75 above his actual ERA. I mean, I just wonder how much of that, you know, he won the Cy Young. He was effective. I just wonder how many teams are expecting the big fallback to come.
I have to believe that's a huge part of it. You know who I feel worst for is Jordan Montgomery, because I think he's also a Boras client, right?
Yeah.
So I think basically Boras is not letting him sign until Snell signs or along those lines. But yeah, I mean, I think every team is afraid of that walk rate, basically, right? Like that there's so much. So his expected ERA was 3.77 and his actual ERA was 2.25. Now 3.77 would be fine, right? You get a guy with a 3.75 ERA, but you're maybe not going to give him $200 million over 8 years, yeah. Right? It's good. What was the offer was on the table was what, 6 for 160 or something like that? Maybe I'm mistaken right there. I don't know. It'll be fascinating. You know, I've doubted Scott Boras before and been proven wrong many times. So far, you know, the guys this offseason, it's not looking like big wins for the big name clients so far. But as we said before, this was a pretty flawed crop of big name free agents this year.
Yeah, there's just go ahead.
Blake Snell only threw 20 innings in the sixth inning and 3 innings in the seventh inning. So he was getting pulled every time, third time through the order.
Yeah, I mean, infamous in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, there's just, I think what's going to happen too is there's certain teams too, but it was coming out that apparently that won't do any business with them whatsoever. So, I mean, if that's going to be the case, then it's things are going to get worse. So, all right. Chris, what is your good and bad yoga this week?
Well, you guys have already touched on two of them. My good was I mentioned earlier, the spring breakout. We talked about mostly. Like, if nothing else, we're going to get some more Hawkeye data on guys like Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal and Josue Briseño and Troy Melton. So that'll be fun. And then I'll skip to my ugly, because that's kind of doubles up with Youp, which was the renderings for the Las Vegas Stadium. He covered it pretty well, but you know, I was digging in a little bit more, and supposedly it's gonna have the world's largest cable net wall. I don't know what that means. It's supposed to be the largest scoreboard, but you can see in those renderings that the scoreboard is like on the ceiling, and it looks like terribly uncomfortable for people to, like, they'd have to crane their necks up and look. It that's not happening. Whatever they're saying there, that's not happening. And then, yeah, the look of it, they said it, yeah, Youp said it looks like the Sydney Opera House, which is, you know, one of the most famous buildings in the world. The architect said, we didn't really have that in mind. We weren't thinking about that. They want to call it a spherical armadillo. sure. And, you know, I've never been to Las Vegas. I don't know if there's anything, like, I know there's a lot of spectacle there, but I don't know if there's anything that you really want to look at. But apparently the stadium would be looking out at the New York casino, which is just like, all right, so you're just looking at, like, that's got like New York and like the Eiffel Tower, like miniature versions of all that, right?
Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. So you're just looking at where you'd rather be playing, I think, is basically what you're looking at there. So, but yeah, the main point and what makes it ugly is it's not going to get built. This isn't going to get built. They still need $1.1 billion in funding. And we know that John Fisher is not paying for that.
So, I mean, John Fisher's just basically, I mean, all he's doing this is basically the fans is.
Can I ask you something?
Certainly.
Who gives a fuck what you think?
I couldn't hear that. I have no idea what he said.
He said, who gives a, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, basically, yeah, he has no regard for the fans. If they play in Las Vegas, they're going to be playing at like the UNLV baseball field. That's my prediction. They're not going to have a stadium. If they do, it'll be like you know, the Tropicana Field. I know it's like the Tropicana site.
There's a AAA ballpark there, right?
Yeah, the Aviators play there.
Yeah, so they'll be playing at something like that. Anyway, so we'll go back to my bad, and it's not so much bad as it. I just found it kind of strange, and it's the Red Sox signing Brian Bello to a 6-year extension today. Just seemed odd to me. Like, it's certainly not bad for Brian Bello. Good for him. He's getting, it's 6 years, $55 million. That's awesome. He's going in his 25 season, age 25 season. And there's apparently a seventh year option for $21 million. So it's good for him. But it's, I don't know. He doesn't seem like, first of all, it's a pitcher. And that's just dangerous to sign anybody to long-term extension, right? Because pitchers just constantly break. But he's also not, I don't know. He doesn't strike me as the sort of guy that you build around necessarily. He seems like somebody who would top out as like a number three starter. He's he showed some flashes as a rookie 2 years ago. And then last year it was a 4.24 ERA and a 4.54 FIP over 157 innings. That's fine. Again, but more like a mid rotation starter. He's got a great changeup and he throws pretty hard. He gets a lot of ground balls, but I don't know. He's 24 with a career 4.4 ERA over 200 innings. It strikes me like if the Tigers had signed Casey Mize to an extension after what, the 2021 season, or like Spencer Turnbull to an extension after the 2020 season, they're about the same age with the same level of experience in ERA. And I just picked those as examples of what can go wrong with guys. Now, hopefully it doesn't go wrong with him, but yeah, just an strange move to me. I don't know. I guess they could save a fair amount of money if they think he's going to become this monster pitcher, but I don't know. I didn't seem terribly smart to me.
I don't understand how they choose to, what they pick and choose to use to spend their money on. I mean, I just,
they said he had a little bit better second half last year, but again, you're going to base a 6-year commitment on a little bit better, you know, 7-8 weeks. That's questionable.
I just think, I don't know. Like, again, if it a Tarek Skubal second half where he's the best pitcher in baseball, then go for it. But if he's slightly better and like, okay, we think he could be a number, I don't know. Like, I can't pretend to say I've been watching Brian Bello pitch every start for the last 4 years. And like, maybe there is some explosion coming and they would know better than I do, but I don't know. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
All right. And then you know, you're ugly, right? Or that was bad.
Well, that was my strange / bad.
Okay. So my good this week involves the Tigers pitching machines, the pitching lab coaches a little bit. We're seeing the results of it right now throughout spring training. I know it's early on, but Brisky humming along at 97-98, RJ Pettit humming along, and just some of the guys that are not just household names that are getting better in spring training. So we've emphasized that during the entire show, and I just think it's worth mentioning. Good. It just continues to be. My bad is something that has not been talked about enough, and Murray Brown from Forbes wrote this, and it's something that, and just because of my experience this week, so during my day job, I've been working with a minor league team to do a promotion for my day job. And so, but something that came up in this, and I'm digging it a little bit, but, and he's right. Murray says the biggest sports story that no one's talking about is the incredible amount of public subsidiaries pouring into minor league baseball parks as MLB pressures clubs to either get a new ballpark upgrade or a new one. Example in Oregon, where one of my markets is, the Hops and the Emeralds are about to get funding. So they're going to see $15 million for the Hops and $5 million for the Emeralds for new ballpark construction. For the Hops, the final piece behind the private equity of $82 million is $122 million ballpark. So they're a high A affiliate, I believe. Yeah, high A. Yes, they're high A. So that's crazy to think. And then there's been rumors for a while, too, that certain teams out on the west side of the state, Michigan, there's also South Bend, that potentially could be AAA affiliates one day. They're jockeying themselves to be at a higher affiliate level. Because here's the thing for me. I think in 10 years, high A ball might be gone. Low or either high A or single A might be gone. You're just going to see three levels. That fourth level is not going to be there. That's what I think is going to happen. Because it just seems to be, if MLB is going to like, okay, fine, we have to handle more responsibilities of payment. Well, guess what? Less. You get less.
Yeah, we've already seen that with the minor league contraction, the lowering of the domestic roster numbers, right, from 185 to 165, I think it was 180 to 165. So, yeah, that's how baseball did it. Say, like, okay, we're going to have to pay these guys and feed them and give them proper housing. We're just going to do it for less of them then. And I think you're dead on. I think there's going to be another contraction down the road. I think it's a 10-year.
Yeah.
Span, and we're in what, year 3 or 4 now, so it'll be 5-6 years down the road. I think it's coming. And yeah, we saw, you know, infamously that Al Avila went to Erie, right, and publicly complained about the facilities there. And that was, shall we say, that was not unwelcome by Erie, right? They kind of wanted that to spur the city into ponying up, right?
Yeah.
So that's how this stuff works, right? Like, oh, we're going to lose our team if we don't upgrade. So, and you said it, West Michigan's doing tons of renovations. South Bend did a huge renovation. I think they're adding a second deck.
Yeah, they're adding a second deck.
In the words of Rod Allen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's huge. And I think that's a great, it's Maury, what's his name? Yeah, he does. He covers the business of sports.
Yeah, really Maury Brown does a fantastic job. Yeah.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah. And Tyler makes a good point here, too. He thinks that if the league expands two more teams, he believes one of the minor league levels will be eliminated. No, I just think if you look at what is going on, especially in some of the teams in high A, why are they jockeying so hard to start getting the upgrades going? I mean, to me, it's just, you know, and you look at Grand Rapids as a city, Grand Rapids as a population is the second largest only to Detroit. And Detroit's population has been decreasing for a long time. It would not, I mean, if you look about the outer greater Grand Rapids, the only reason why Detroit's metro population or the Detroit's population will always be higher is because the metro suburbs of Detroit are much larger than the suburbs of Grand Rapids. Yeah. So if that ever changed, then the power of the positioning of everything in the state would change to the west side of the state. But the west side of the state is still very, to me, it's still very kind of, there's a lot more remote places than there is on the east side of the state.
And did we discuss on the show that Daily Show clip? I think I posted that in the Discord, right?
Yeah, Discord, yeah, but I don't do the copyright. Yeah, I can't play it. Yeah.
No, but yeah, if people missed it, there was the host of the Daily Show is from Ann Arbor and their correspondent is from Grand Rapids. And they kind of spent like 4 minutes just making all sorts of Michigan references and you know, making fun of the other side of the state. And then they mentioned the West Michigan Whitecaps, which was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny.
The whole 25 people that got that loved it.
Yeah. Well, and that's us. We're part of that target audience.
Yeah, no. And everybody out there, everybody got nerded out, and even West Michigan posted a clip of that. And that leads to my ugly, which involves the west side of the state, middle part of the state, really. And so the reason why it's ugly, it's not necessarily the West Michigan Whitecaps. No, folks, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the Great Lakes new logo, for a temporary logo, the Great Lakes Pontooners. The Pontooners.
Hey.
So I understand we're the Great Lakes state, okay? Correct me if I'm wrong, but Cameron, okay, you live in the middle of the state, correct? Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
20 minutes outside Lansing.
Okay. In Midland, is there lakes near Midland?
No. Is this referring to like Houghton Lake? Like, is this what they're going for? Like,
I have no idea, but this is going to be the... So, they're closer. So they were saying as the Great Lakes, and this is from Benjamin Hill, as the Great Lakes geographically similar makes it clear, the Midland-based loons are located close proximity to the plenty of water, Saginaw Bay, part of Lake Huron. Okay, all right, that part I get, but I just. I don't know, man.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Yeah, I think
I like the mean little face on the
that's in front. I don't know why is that pontoon so angry? Pontoons are never angry. They go very slow. they embrace many people at a time. It should have been like the motorboaters or something like that, like the or the jobby nooners.
The jobby nooners. See,
WNGBs. The Poontangers first. Yep. Okay, there you go. That's right up there with the Bunghammers.
Oh, man. The pontoon, like, it's just.
I mean.
I think you know what? Here's the thing. Usually the pontooners, you usually have women in bikinis here. I mean, they're missing. It's not just one. There's no one person on a pontoon boat. Not one person. Like, it's like usually when you think of pontooners, let's just Google pontoon boat, shall we? I mean, Michigan, just put in just for the sake of, I mean,
a lot of for sale. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of for sale. Yeah. Look at this. Not one shot. Is there one person? It's a group of people. Well, this is just empty. Look at people. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous.
Well, you know,
back with this. Go ahead.
I think basic
design. What's this more about baseball than, you know, you're on a, you're on the water, you got a case of beer, you got a ball game on the radio.
Boats and hoes.
Fantastic day.
Yeah.
Look, if I'm on a pontoon boat with a group of people, all right, that's what I'm thinking. I like the color scheme. I mean, my favorite color is blue anyways. I mean, but, oh, man, like, I like the GL, though. This is cool. This is
well, you know what? And the other one is that they've got a guy with a beer in a tube, a baseball themed inner tube. That's okay. If you just stuck with that, that's fine.
He's being pulled along by the pontoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's which all is, good. You know, my son will have this jersey if they have jerseys for sale.
I just
sure will.
Yeah, I just especially the boat having meaty eyes, you know, I don't know. I don't care for it. That's just me. Here we are. You know, if it wasn't a Tiger Philly, I would still say the same thing. I'm not gonna mince words. I like Midland. Yeah. By the way, Dow Diamond is one of my favorite ballparks around. I love that ballpark. It's one of my favorite places to watch a game. It really is. All the views are great. The way they have the corridors set up, the food, everything. It's a fantastic place. Even the steps getting into there. I love that ballpark. So, and the Great Lake Loons, the logo, the secondary logos they have for the Dodgers stuff is affiliated to. It's fantastic. Fantastic place. Fantastic facility. They have the way they do their broadcast too. Very well done. ESPN, I think 96.1 up there. But yeah, that's definitely the case. But it's just that. I'm sorry, guys. I don't get it.
Now, I'm also a sucker for the alternative jerseys, the one-off jerseys. My son has the Florence Exploding Whales jersey.
Nice.
The team in Eugene Emeralds put out last year.
Yeah.
With the whales blowing up. That was awesome. I have the one, the Hickory Crawdads. They did one. They were called the Hickory Dickory Docks. And I had to get them that one. So, you know, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I'm a soft touch for these folks in backing these things.
Yeah. I understand. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, even we have friends over at the Lansing Lugnuts have some fantastic secondary logos. I have a Star Wars jersey from there, and I don't really collect a lot of jerseys because the ones I do have, I try to find like the rare ones, but it was a cool Star Wars jersey. But at any rate, that is our good, bad. That is our show pretty much for this week. Unless we have any questions or anything like that, I was trying to think if we had any wrap up on anything.
I just got to send this quick shout out. My son's eighth grade teacher, Miss Lynham, was at the Yankee Tiger game tonight. Her and her family do a yearly trip down to see the Yankees in spring training. So she was texting with me, very sad that her beloved Yankees were losing to my beloved Tigers tonight. But pretty cool that she's down there. My son missed her today in school.
All right. Awesome.
No questions from anybody?
Not on Twitter.
Did we solicit for questions or?
I saw a tweet out there, but it was a little late.
Yeah.
As long as we're doing shout outs, I've been meaning to do this. I forgot it. Tonight, a friend of mine at the school, his dad was cleaning out his house and gave me a Detroit Free Press coffee table book about Tiger Stadium. That's awesome. And I left it upstairs. I don't have it, but I've had for weeks, I've had this thing that my brother made me. And I showed this to you, Rogelio.
Please, please do. This is
awesome. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. You probably won't be able to zoom in here, but my brother, who he actually meant to get, he gave this to me on my son's birthday. He said he made it like 4 or 5 years ago, but it's a 5x5 thing of these baseball cards. Yeah, you're not gonna be able to see it, but I can read it off to you basically.
Oh, you can see it. Keep putting it in there. Yeah. Keep
going. But so the idea is he picked the top row is just all ridiculous names. It's
is
not
Pete LeCocq?
It is. It's Pete LeCocq. You've got Ron Tugnutt. We have Bake McBride, Pete LeCocq, Dick Shiner, and Dick Pohl. And so, yeah, this is my brother. He individually bought every single one of these cards, and then the second row is all really weird looking dudes like Don Mossy.
That's an ugly man.
Yeah, it's getting a reflection here. And the third row is guys making funny faces. You got Gary Pettis, Ricky Ledeay, like hugging bats. Chuck Carr, if you can see that, is grabbing the guy's butt. I'm trying to. And then, yeah, it's and then the bottom row has just got really weird facial hair. Like he went and spent a lot of money and time to make me this baseball card slash there's Ron Tugnut, I guess, for fun. So I know he doesn't fantastic. Watch this or listen, but I just wanted to put it out there that was a pretty awesome gift from my brother, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, anytime you can work in a Pete LeCocq mention, it's a good show.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard of Dick Shiner before, and that's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Dick, rename the episode the Dick Shiner episode. No, but Chuck Carr won the first picks of the Marlins, by the way. Good call there, Joseph, on that. So
that's why I haven't heard Dick Shiner was a football player. That makes sense. He was on the Steelers.
I think that card of Dick Pohl, Mariners hat's drawn on the card. There's apparently a Dick Pohl.
Oh my God. There's Dick Pohl. There's three guys here with unibrows. It's great.
There's a lot of hats. In the 70s, there were a lot of baseball cards where they airbrushed the hats if there was a trade after the cards were produced. I think it was that Bob Ross guy
that
did them for Topps a couple times. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
I really Bob Ross did that?
I don't know. He did a lot of them. I don't know if he did them all, but he did some of them.
That's wild.
But I also want to give a shout out to Custom Cat.
So
Custom Cat, by the way, I was experimenting with so everybody on the staff this year between Tiger Miley Report and here, essentially, we'll be getting a polo. So when we're out and about in public, and if we have to go do a game or whatever, or just, you know, want to go out and represent the brand, there you go. So I don't know where I cannot with a camera, but this actually is not embroidered, but they want, if you try to get anything embroidered, they have to charge a card, and they have to charge. And so it's like $70 for a shirt, and then you have to have order minimum of shirts. But this, two shirts, it's around 25, 30 bucks per polo. So there's different material, and I ordered this, but there's one for the Tiger Miley Report as well. So if you're interested in ordering one for yourself, let us know, or you go to a shop at the Tiger Miley Report shop, and there's Motor City Metrics shirts up there too. But the polos are a little different because it's a whole different mechanism and system and all that. But anyway, a shout out to them, because if you ever want to sponsor the show, by all means, please let us know, and we'll gladly order out wear your stuff. So, enough of the shout-outs on that. Thank you so much for watching us this evening. We really appreciate it, and we'll be back next week. Don't forget to check out the new episode of the Tiger Miley Report podcast over on our other YouTube channel.
And vote for Raj's team, I guess.
Vote for whoever's team you want. You don't have to vote for my team. I'm not putting any pressure on you. I mean, he did pick Colt Keefe. I did not. I had a chance to the first pick, and I picked Jackson Joe. So, there you go. Yeah, you do that. But yes, also, if you'd like to donate, again, the PayPal link is in our bio on the Tiger Miley Report side of things. And again, thank you so much for all the questions, comments this evening, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good night, everybody.